grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
There we go. You want to get the mic there, mate?
I'm here. I'm ready. Honest.
All right. Another edition of Marijuana Media.
Well, kia ora, Corey.
Kia ora, man. How are you?
I'm very good. Very good. It's been a great day down at the hemp store, like a lot of days, actually. We're non-stop, all day, every day. People either coming in and getting a bit of information about how to access medical cannabis and going away like quite overjoyed about it. Or they're coming in already overjoyed because they've just done it. And either way, it's really positive. You know,
that's good.
It's really cool. We're surrounded it just seems at the moment, it's really good. Lots of positive people who are either getting their legal buds or they're about to and they're excited at the prospect.
That's so good. How was First Thursdays last week?
It was, yes.
How did that go?
It was pretty good. Yeah, and lots of good music that I heard or wafting around. A few kind of, are we feeling irate? You know, that's a classic. I heard that being belted out.
Yeah.
And, but coming up, actually, there's first of next month, so it's a little while away.
Yeah.
Matariki celebration along K Road. I think it's the 13th. Whatever the Thursday is, just before the long holiday.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's going to be good. That's going to be awesome. But, hey, back to the medical cannabis, because as I say, it's been just so good with everyone coming in, talking about it.
Yeah, we
did talk about that study last week that came out of Otago, Auckland, and Victoria Unis, where it found 96% of people on medical cannabis were getting a health benefit and improvements to their conditions.
Yes.
And, we always hear, oh, lack of evidence, not enough evidence. Well, here's your bloody evidence right there.
Here it is.
And so this week, that got a bit of coverage in what's called the Pain News Network, which I hadn't come across, but that was quite good that they promoted that. Adding their call as a patient organization to changes to make cannabis cheaper and more accessible right here in New Zealand. So I thought that was good, bit of international coverage. But also what I wanted to just say was just quite relevant to that New Zealand study was two big ones that came out of Aussie this week. And sorry, Corey, I didn't send you these, so you haven't had your briefing. But so one of them was
more.
A really large observational study, 3,948 Aussie patients.
That's a lot.
And what they found, cannabis improves the quality of life of people suffering from chronic diseases. This is in JAMA, which is a really big, and very creditable publication, medical publication. Chronic non-cancer patient, most common indication, followed by cancer pain, insomnia, and anxiety. So that again, that just kind of backs up that New Zealand one. But also this other one that came out of University of Sydney.
Yeah.
I did miss out this thing. That was from Melbourne, that other one. And that found, so they found improvements in all eight domains of health-related quality of life. I'm not quite sure what the eight domains are.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I was about to ask.
Yeah, but they got improvements in all of them.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
there you go.
Well, that's good.
And then, University of Sydney, just a few days ago.
Yes.
This is the Lambert Initiative out of University of Sydney. And this found patients with unmet mental health needs are turning to medicinal cannabis. And while the doctors prescribing it, and it's reached something like 750,000 prescriptions in Australia now. And so while they're saying, well, some of the doctors aren't quite clear on what the evidence is behind it, the patients are reporting benefits. And the Lambert Initiative are now saying, well, this could actually unlock avenues of new research and new leads for their clinical trials. So they're saying, bring it on, encourage more of this prescribing. And what they're really noting too is that because cannabis isn't typically used as a first-line therapy, it's used by people as their second or third kind of medication to try.
Right.
And so therefore it's for more complex things. And so it really, as I say, it opens up this potential that people with more complex conditions who aren't helped by existing medications are finding support through medical cannabis.
The really interesting thing, and like I'd have to refer back to the last study that we were just talking about, some of those participants found that using medical marijuana, they were just able to, like, some of them were able to let go of their prescriptions for the other drugs that they were taking.
Absolutely, yes, and particularly opiates.
Yeah,
some people are finding, or working synergistically with it. In fact, two studies came out this week that found that cannabis accentuated the effects of tramadol. And two separate studies, you know, both showing the same thing. So it just means that people can use less than what they otherwise would. And I can speak from personal experience. When I was in hospital with a broken pelvis, and that's a very, very painful thing to have, I've got to say. And I was in the broken bones ward in North Shore Hospital. I was on the ward, they were telling me, as they were dispensing my CBD to me in the ward, was that I was on the lowest pain relief of anyone there.
Wow.
So that's just my experience. Not the same for everyone, of course, but it certainly worked for me. And that brings me, does bring me a nice little link there. And that stuff and the spin-off had a great article this week. All your questions about legal prescription weed answered.
Yes, a little Q&A.
Yeah, it was really good. Chris Schultz talking to Natalie from the cannabis, some Green Doctors, sorry, name the right one, from Green Doctors. Lots of good questions there. How much does it cost? How do I do it? That sort of thing. Also, you know, why can't you guys advertise? Why don't we hear about these things?
Yeah.
And, you know, that in itself, they point out, well, they can kind of talk about their clinic, or they can have a kind of news story, but there's a lot of... it's one of the reasons, actually, that makes things difficult for patients.
It's because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know.
And people can run the risk of, running foul of MedSafe if they kind of do anything. So, yeah, and what that does is it means there's less information out there. People don't know the prices. They don't know what a correct price is. They don't know if they're being ripped off or getting a deal.
Right.
You know, so, that makes it a bit tricky.
Mm.
Kind of similar to the illicit market in a way, eh?
Yeah,
I
mean,
you
well,
don't
in
really
a way.
Know. But, so you'd think they'd learn from that and go, well, actually, it's to patients' benefit and to doctors' benefits if there's open information.
Yes.
Yeah, and because the weird thing is this prohibition on talking about stuff is only because they're technically an unapproved product, yet we have a medical cannabis scheme that assesses them and says they've been assessed as meeting the standards. So
it's a bit...
you'd think at that point, you'd think you'd be able to talk about it.
That's...
But we as individuals, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
But they as the companies can't.
That's just, that seems a bit fucked, but I digress. What else has been in the news this week, Chris?
Bro, here was a related thing. News Talk ZB just today.
Oh,
I thought this was great. And they have reported, they got some stats out of Te Whatu Ora. 75,508 prescriptions have been given out under the medical cannabis scheme so far.
Whee!
Bloody awesome. Congratulations, everyone who's got one. And we do want to put that into a little bit of perspective, though.
Yes.
We've got to put that into perspective.
Yep.
So that's... 3 years of the scheme being in effect, but let's just say it's 1 year of seriously since we've had kind of bud available and that kind of thing. If you're getting a THC product, you need a prescription every month. You only get a month's supply at a time, so that's 12 a year.
Yeah.
So if it's a CBD product, you can get up to 3 months under one prescription, so that's 4 a year. So you've got to, if you're looking at the numbers of people, you've probably got to reduce that 75,000
by a fair bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it might be 15 or 20,000 patients. We might be looking. I don't know. They can't tell. Or they say they don't know whether they're individuals or repeat scripts. You think really you don't know if it's a repeat script?
Like,
I'm sure if it was an opiate, you'd know if people are getting lots of repeat scripts.
Sure they use Excel spreadsheets, right? Like you can just, you know, create some conditional formulas and shit, and you can figure it out.
So it kind of looks like somewhere between 5 and 10% of the medical cannabis patients are getting their legal prescriptions.
Right.
So, a year or two back, they were saying 6%. So, you know, it might have gone up a bit. It might not have. Hard to tell in a way. But hopefully it is. And certainly, as I said at the beginning of the show, certainly our experience at the shop, people are super keen to do it. And lots of people are doing it every day. They just got to do it.
Yeah.
Just bloody get on with it.
I wonder if there's... I wonder if I can, like, just send an email to Te Whatu Ora and just get some updated numbers for this year alone. Would love that, actually.
Mm.
If anyone's listening from the Health Ministry, can you just get in touch? 5395 on the text machine, please. Anyway, what else has been in the news?
Whew, okay, what have we got? A couple of other little medical cannabis things from the local sector. One is that Ruhr Bioscience, down on the East Cape there, they've announced their first revenue from Germany. And they sold, what was it, 17 kilos or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I haven't, I should bloody open these things if I've got to talk about them. No, yes, that's very good news. Selling, you know, actually getting some revenue. 13,000 grams, 28 pounds, there we go, 13 kilos. And there we go. And this, they're saying this is their significant milestone to put in place sustainable revenue and a positive return to shareholders.
Mm.
And on a similar thing, Canna South, another NZX listed cannabis company.
Oh, yes.
Also doing its first commercial export this week to Australia.
Hmm.
And they merged with Aqualis, so they now have top to bottom GMP production. And I'm sure they'll roll out a whole bunch of new products as well. So that's sounding good. But on the pause for thought, One News reported this week in New York, where they legalized medical cannabis, recreational adult use cannabis, beginning of this year. Well, it was last year, but I think beginning of this year, the licenses came into effect. Huge glut. When we talk about, you know, this 13 kilos that Rua just sold, well, they're sitting on 136,000 kilos in New York, just sitting in locked up in warehouses, waiting to be sold, slowly going off and moldy. And they're just not issuing enough licenses for shops. So meanwhile, hundreds of illegal marijuana stores that look like stores, they just look like regular shops, they're all over New York. And there's, I think, maybe a dozen legal ones.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, so that's one of the, when the bloody regulators...
Come on, New York!
Yeah, this is squarely the fault of the regulators for not pulling finger, getting on with it. And if we want to blame some regulators too, vape changes, that's been very topical this week. Green Party, I want to say good on you, Green Party. You're the only people who link these things to drug policy. And so, sure enough, Chloe Swarbrick, good on you, today with her press release saying she welcomes the government joining the Greens and wanting to deal with disposable vapes and the sort of proliferation in dairies.
Yeah.
And using that opportunity to link it to drug law reform, evidence-based, starting with cannabis, and let's get rid of what she calls the Frankenstein Misuse of Drugs Act.
1975.
So, you know, we're just not hearing other parties or candidates bring up drug law reform.
It's surprising, isn't it?
Mm.
The fact that nobody's going to want to go along and say, oh, the Misuse of Drugs Act from 75 is fine. No one's saying that.
Yeah, well, they all know it too, and they all agree in private. And you know, there's half the country voted for full legalization, two-thirds want decrim. We've seen in Australia how the cannabis block can really make a difference. ALCP showing up in the polls here. Greens are making a play for it. You know, what are the other parties going to do? You know, let's see some bidding parties. Who's going to give us the best drug laws?
Talking about the election, a texter asks, will there be a cannabis referendum in this election? Should be. I don't think there is, though.
No.
Not as far as we can tell.
Bloody should be, yeah. Unless a government puts it up, then it's like a voluntary one. And even the government one, it wasn't binding. It wasn't binding, yes or no. It was a non-binding referendum. But when you do a citizens-initiated one, definitely non-binding. And unfortunately, there haven't been any that they've actually done.
Yeah.
Apart from the tough-on-crime one of the 90s. They loved that one.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what filled our jails. And in fact, that brings me, so good question, Texter.
Mm.
Max Harrison, The Herald, this week, a couple of days ago, writing that drug law reform needs to be the next step for criminal justice reform.
Yeah.
This is an article called The Crime and Safety Debate, We're Going Round and Round in Circles. And he traces this back to that sort of thing of the 90s, of how that has led to, you know, 30 years later, we're still dealing with the ramifications where almost half our prisons are filled with people who have not been convicted. They are there on remand. They haven't even got to trial.
Come on, man.
It's incredible. So anyway, have a look into that, because he is saying drug law reform needs to be where we're focused our efforts. And he points out that despite the referendum, the government needs, or whoever forms the next government, needs to get on with it and do something.
There is one more text here. Is smoking mildly? What the hell is this, Texter? I think this person's trying to say, is smoking moldy weed bad? Asking for a friend.
Yeah, yeah, really bad.
Really bad.
The best thing to do with moldy weed is throw it away and not produce it in the first place. But if you, really the only thing you can do with it is certain forms of hash making.
Okay.
Proper full-scale commercial types, they can do an extract and clean out the mold, but it's very difficult and expensive. You're often better off just to grow more rather than trying to mess around with that. Yeah, mold spores are smaller than trichomes, so they can be sifted out. But as I say, why bother? It's very bad for you, very harmful. You don't want to be inhaling mold.
Mm.
Very bad.
Very bad.
So throw it away. That's my advice. Sorry.
Very good. Anything else that you want to get out there on the airwaves, Chris?
Oof. Well, apart from... we've got substance testing in the shop next Saturday. So
oh, brilliant.
Saturday the... this Saturday.
This Saturday?
Yeah, yeah, the 10th. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Get it right. This Saturday, that's 11 to 3. Then there's the Matariki first Thursday coming up in July. And, of course, J-Day, as we mentioned last week, 2nd of December. I know it's a long way to wait. But the weather's going to be great. The park's going to be great. And we'll do some other pop-up events before the election.
Brilliant. Love that. Well, thank you so much, Chris, from the Hemp Store. Good on you, man.
Yes, thank you.
Chip.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with marijuana.